forged sword, churns forward in the blackness like a creature of myth, pushing past her ailing cobra escorts.
Evris! He shouts. Clip that hawk, or we'll be as dead as the Far Runner!
On it!
The gunner's voice is thick, as if he's injured. Toka feels a flare of concern, but he doesn't have time for that either. He'll just have to check on Evris when the battle is done. Or find him by the Emperor's side if they don't survive it. Toka pulls the Fury over and around, spiraling into a steep fall that puts them past the enemy interceptor at speed. Not too fast for Evris, though. Laz cannon fire splits the dark and splits the enemy interceptor too, right along her hull. She crumples and detonates and breaks into pieces, and Evris whoops like he always does. It makes Toka do the same. He can't help it. It's all instants, a fight like this. An instant of grief, of worry, of fear, of joy. Then Toka sees the two remaining ships of the flotilla engage the part-repaired Apocalypse class. The Blade of Chorus and the Wrath Unending are massive ships, but they are dwarfed by the sword. That difference means danger, but it also means they can outmaneuver her. As Toka watches, they pass alongside the Starforged sword and open up with their broadsides. The sword replies in kind, and his visor dips all over again. It's another instant to count with the others. One of pride.
Missile count, he says to Evris.
One rack,
Evris replies.
It's the last of them.
Then let's not waste them,
Toka says, and he pushes for the Starforged sword. They take fire from enemy interceptors that Evris answers in kind. He catches most of them and clips the rest. They take hits from debris and from pieces of the Far Runner and the Equinox. Even at speed, with the starlight and the lance fire and the roar of the Fury, Toka catches split-second glimpses of bodies in the void. And then they are on top of the Starforged sword. Beneath them, the battleship bleeds. The Blade of Chorus and the Wrath Unending do the same. They are made for punishment, but they cannot endure indefinitely. Nothing can.
Fire when I say, Toka says. We will only get one shot.
He rolls the Fury, and even with his pressure suit compensating, it dizzies him. He tastes blood. The Fury shakes as lance fire from the sword's dorsal arrays track them. Toka sees it then, the gap in the sword's skin where her bones show through.
One shot,
Evris says.
Now I see what you mean, Lamb.
The Fury screams through the sword's voids and into the space between her exposed bones. Automated turrets punch into her hull and clip her wings and knock out the telemetry. Toka tastes blood again as he cracks his head on the airframe. But they are inside. Going too fast to stop. Ironwork zips past.
Do it,
he says to Evris.
Aye.
The last of their missiles streak from the Fury into the innards of the Starforged sword. They fly through the fire of it. Toka's instruments scream, explosions trigger and catch and carry through the battleship's bones. He hears Evris whoop like he always does, and he can't help but to do it too. There's a moment when they break through the fire and the destruction, where it is silent, save for the Fury's engines, and the hiss of air escaping from Toka's suit.
Lamb,
Evris says over the vox.
I'll see you. All right?
Toka nods. I'll see you, he says, in his last instant. Davin Wick can't help closing his eyes in the instant that the assault craft drops from its mag clamps into the Wrath's hangar bay and starts to move for the shipyards. It knocks the air right out of his lungs, though not by the force of it. It's because he feels the same way about the assault craft as he does about troop transports, about all ships. That they are just another kind of tin can, waiting to be torn open by fire. Wick tries not to think about what's outside, about lance fire and venting air, the void lost dead and behind them nothing, so much nothing. Wick's eyes snap open again as a colossal tremor shakes the assault craft. It creaks and howls around him, and he waits for it to happen, for the craft to tear open and spill the lot of them out into the void to die in the cold and the silence. But it doesn't. Instead, the assault craft rights itself, and the lumens flicker back up. Red, like the inside of something living.
Emperor's bloody wounds, Chris says. Thought that was it there, Sarge.
She is seated and harnessed like the rest of them. The rest of his wild folk, Romodi's Hartkin, Larakoi's Mist Vipers, Hale's Lot, the Commissar, and Zane. The compartment is all body heat and the smell of cold metal and smoke and sweat. Hale had tried to make Wick strap himself into a seat too for the launch and the breach, said it was safer. Wick wouldn't do it, because he never has. Not since Quarter, not since he watched Keller and the others burn.
1 minute!
Hale shouts over the racket of the engines and the impacts and everyone praying and muttering, over Zane humming her damned atonal songs. Wick hears everything loud and clear because of the dose he took before they boarded. He took double because he knew it would be bad, and because of that bolt shell he carries. Wick looks to his wild folk, sitting there with their hands rolled into fists around their harnesses. Their spirits are lit, their eyes too. Not like his, with violence waiting to be made and the push of stims. His kin are fighting for the value of duty, for virtue and honour, and all those things Wick has never felt. But he's not going to stop them feeling it, not when it might be the last time.
30 seconds!
Hale shouts, and the proximity alarms start to go.
You go fast, and you don't look back,
Wick shouts to his squad over the noise of the alarm.
Fight the sighted until they are dead, or you are, but make sure you cut them before you go.
There's a jolt that unsteadies him on his feet. He hears the mag clamps fire. They all unclip their harnesses, get to their feet and draw their guns and knives.
Because we are wild folk,
Wick continues.
And what does that mean? Cuts from us always kill,
they answer him as one. And then there's another boom as the breach chargers go, blowing them away into the shipyards. Air rushes into the compartment through the toothed hole it makes, cold and smelling of iron. Wick sees the dark, strobing innards of the shipyards beyond, and hears the chatter of gunfire and the scream of alarms.
Let's go!
Wick shouts. They follow him, first up, first out, running the edge, like always.
I knew it,
Chris says, as they run.
What?
Wick asks.
That you had a good speech in you somewhere,
she says, and she laughs.
Inspirational words!
Wick doesn't laugh with her. He can't find the want to, because they don't feel like inspirational words to him. They feel very much like last words. Chapter 21 On the Edge of the After. Build Basilica Delphi is a colossal chamber built from black iron and pitted steel. Part-built pieces of starships hang overhead, casting long, dark shadows that fall across Severina Rain and the Antari of Grey Company as they make the push across the Basilica towards the void gantries that will lead them to the shipyard's core. Rain's boots ring off the grated decking as she runs to meet the enemy past the immobile shapes of lifters and heavy-duty machinery. Beside her, Till and Jeth run too. The Duskhounds are like two extra shadows, sticking close by. Rain looks left to see Hale and his command squad. On her right, Quoy and her Mist Vipers. Ahead, Wick and his wild folk. The rest of Grey Company are lost to smoke and distance and darkness. But Rain can hear them running and fighting. Lazfire strobes in the half-dark. Every breath Rain takes smells like stagnant water and blood, like corruption. A constant thrumming chant echoes through the shipyard's vox-emitters.
Seek the avoidance of atrophy, it says, in atonal machine blare. Only by 9.
The sighted are everywhere, pushing and pulling like the tide. Most are soldiers clad in blue and grey, with cloaks of mirrors or feathers pushed under the skin and crystals set into the sockets where their eyes should be. But not all. Through the melee, Rain sees dock workers and shipwrights too, adepts and tech priests, all with their loyalties torn away, and with red raw fate marks carved into their skin. For things to endure, they must change. Serac's voice echoes in Rain's ears as she plunges her sword into the chest of one of the sighted. The traitor is wearing a red uniform that should be patterned with cogwheels and angular runic text, but every one of those icons has been defaced and oversown to create new, hateful shapes.
"Only by nine,"
slurs the sighted, with blood bubbling over his blue, cracked lips. Rain pulls her sword free, and he falls dead.
"Onwards," she cries into the vox. "In the Emperor's name!"
Along the line, Hale's Grey Company roar a cheer as they break through the sighted's lines. The sound echoes over the basilica, right up to the part-built ships overhead. Over 400 souls spread out across the vastness of the basilica. Everyone fit enough to fight. Everything that Rain has left to her.
"Seek thee knowledge unsought, only by nine," echoes that machine voice.
Ahead, dozens more of the sighted flood through the massive door at the far end of the chamber that leads to the void gantries. The heretics drop mobile cover as their weapons crews set up gun emplacements. Gunfire clatters against the decking and cuts the air by Rain's head as she ducks behind one of the huge immobile lifter machines on the deck with the dust count at her side. Jeff keeps firing around the cover as solid rounds ring against the machine like a winter storm. Along the line, Rain can just about see Davin Wick and his wild folk through the smoke, holed up in the same way. She hears the distinctive, echoing boom of Yulia Chris's modified grenade launcher firing.
"More are coming, Commissar," Till says.
Her voice is calm and steady as she checks her Vambracer's display, despite all of the running and fighting.
"I'm picking up a lot of movement."
Yuri Hale drops into cover beside them, with blood welling and soaking through the arm of his fatigues from where one of the enemy rounds caught him. His command squad are with him. He waves Lai away when the medic tries to take a look at the gunshot wound in his arm.
"We have to break through now,"
Hale says.
"If we let them slow us, we fail. We die. All of us."
He looks to Lydia Zane. The Psyker is sitting with her back against the machine and her legs drawn up like a sorrowful child. Rain realizes that, even now, Zane is barefoot. Her feet are black with blood that only mostly belongs to the enemy. Her face is bloody too, almost animalistic. Zane hasn't been the same since the Sanctum, and her time spent facing Cretia Omitid in a space that only the two Psykers could see.
"Make us a path, Zane,"
Hale says. Zane blinks, and then she looks at him.
"A path," she says absently. "A path to truth."
Jeff curses loudly and ducks back behind the cover. His carapace armor is chipped and smoking from impacts.
"They are advancing," Jeff growls. "Whatever you're going to do, do it now."
"I did not know then the power of dreams,"
Zane murmurs, as if she has not heard him. Rain moves to stand in front of her.
"Lydia,"
she says. Zane's head snaps up at the mention of her given name. Her lips are parted like an animal breathing under stress, exposing blood-pinked teeth. Bolts start to turn in the machine frame at Zane's back. Rain keeps her pistol pointed at the deck, ready to raise and fire in an instant if she has to. But only if she has to.
"Control,"
Rain says.
"You are Lydia Zane, Primaris Psyker, graded Epsilon."
A thin line of blood runs from Zane's nose. The Psyker touches her hand to her face and then looks down at her bloodied fingertips. She nods, as if in understanding.
11th Antari Rifles," the Psyker says.
Detonated rounds paint the air gold around Lydia Zane as she makes a path to the vaulted doorway and through the sighted defending it. The deck creaks under Zane's feet in the wake of her telekine shield and her power. Her two birds sit on her shoulders and cry joy as she claps her hands together, and the closest of the sighted snap and break and turn to meat and bone and nothing more. The enemy start to scream, and then to run, but there is little point in running from gifts like Zane's. She raises her hand and turns it, and tears a hole in the plating of the deck for those who run to fall into. Some she pins with twisted spars of metal. Some she throws against the armor glass viewports. Some she tears, limb from limb. And that is easiest of all, because there is little resistance to be found in flesh and bone. Emotions soak into the air and into her skin. Fear and anger and hatred that crash against her as if she is walking into an ocean tide. They only seek to use you until there is nothing left to use. Cretia Ometid's words echo in Zane's mind, as they have been doing since they spoke in the sanctum, since Ometid tried to tempt her. Think of what you could be.
No,
Zane snarls through her teeth. Her concentration falters, and a stray round breaches Zane's kind shield and clips her thigh, spraying blood. Zane falls to her knees, and she does not think, then. She just acts, with her birds crying loudly in her ears and her mind. Free. Fall. Zane cries out and slams one closed fist onto the floor. A spear of telekinetic force lances out from her, tearing a furrow through the deck and through the sighted. There are screams and pops and flashes as guns detonate in hands and bones break and dozens of souls are unmade in an instant. Blood mist hits Lydia Zane's skin like ocean spray, and all finally falls blessedly quiet. Save for that machine voice coming from the vox emitters over her head.
Seek thee life everlasting, only by nine, it says.
As if in answer, Cretia Ometid's voice rises up inside Zane's head again.
Think of what you could be!
And Zane kneels there and looks at what she has wrought, at the blood and the mess and the ruin, and at her birds, flitting from corpse to corpse.
The nine await!
Ometid's voice is a test. Just like the night Zane spent alone in a circle of salt under Antar's dark sky. Just like the Commissar's questions, and the two birds that follow like shadows. She must never stray from the path towards the light. Never place one foot on the spiral.
I am Lydia Zane, she murmurs to herself over and over. I am Epsilon. I am Antari.
And with great effort, she gets back onto her feet. On the shipyard's void gantries, with the stars hanging all around her, Rain learns exactly why it is that the sighted call Axon Foe that which creates. The creations the Magos sends to kill Rain and Grey Company are part mechanical horrors. There are dozens of them, some crawling on multi-jointed arms and legs, and some running upright with awkward, juddering spasms of their limbs. Each of Axon Foe's creations are built of dead flesh that clings stubbornly to iron and adamantium and bone. Multicolored crystal shards jut from their bodies, and their hands and feet are bladed. Where they should have faces, they just have silvered mirrors set with vox grills that broadcast the Magos's ceaseless preaching.
Creation is necessary violence, they blare. Only by nine.
Rain plants her feet as another of the creations comes for her, its bladed feet clattering against the bloody, oil-fouled decking. There is no cover to speak of on the gantries, no option other than to fight their way through. Around her, Hale's command squad engage with the creations. The Duskhound's hellguns light the gantries with full automatic lasfire. Shouts and curses come from Wick's wildfolk. Everywhere the clash of blades and the smell of blood.
No backward steps,
Rain cries as she meets the creature's blades with her own sabre.
Do not falter!
Her powered blade severs one of the creation's forearms at the elbow. It does not recoil, and the blaring of Axon Foe's words continues interrupted.
By violence is purity found, only by 9.
Rain catches a glimpse of herself in the creation's mirrored face as it lunges for her, of bruises and cuts and hollow eyes. She looks so much like Lucia did, that day in the cell. Rain shouts, wordlessly, as she turns aside one of the creation's grasping bladed hands with her sabre and fires her bolt pistol point-blank into the creature's mirrored face. The silvered mask shatters, covering Rain in shards that cut her face, bloodying her further. One of the creation's remaining bladed arms snags her as it falls twitching onto the deck, cutting Rain deeply across her sword arm. With her arm burning and her fingers trying to go numb, she severs what is left of the creation's head with her saber, and it finally shakes itself still. But still, there is no respite. Rain gets moving again, firing the last round in her pistol's magazine at another of the Magos's creations. The bolt shell's detonation shatters what passes for its ribcage, but the creation does not stop until Lydia Zane forces it to. The Psyker disassembles it violently, shearing joints and pulverizing flesh with a clap of her thin, pale hands. Zane's breathing is rapid and shallow, and blood is soaking through her slate-gray robes where she was shot, despite Muriel Eye's field treatment. Ahead, Cassia Till kills another of the creations with precision fire from her hellgun, putting a smoking hole straight through its mirrored mask, even as Jeff is slammed against the armor glass of the gantry wall by a third. The Duskhound yells and punches his combat blade over and over into the back of its neck as it tries to claw through his carapace plate and his mask. The company vox is loud with chatter.
They'll have us for dead! Push through!
I need a medikay here!
Harkin, acknowledge, Miss Viper's requesting aid!
I can't get to you, Lara!
And there is an agonized shout that Rain catches, even over all of that noise.
Ari!
The cry comes from Mac Arcade. Gray's vox operator charges, with his lasgun raised, at the monster that has Ari Rath pinned on the decking. But he is not quick enough to prevent Axon Foe's puppeted creature from opening the banner bearer's throat with its claws. Rain sees blood mist the air. Hears hail shout too. Cade gets knocked onto his back, and the creation rears. Rain runs to intervene. And then a massive tremor runs through the void gantry that nearly knocks Rain from her feet. The overhead lumens cut out, replaced with red emergency lighting. Axon Foe's preaching falters, becomes an enraged atonal scream. His remaining creations crash to the ground, as if their minds have abandoned them. Till and Jeff make sure that they will not wake again with bursts of hellgun fire, while Wick orders his wild folk to secure this section of the gantry. Rain ejects her pistol's spent magazine and reloads, ready for the next fight.
Get in, come, sir,
Mac Arcade says to Hale. The vox operator sits himself up, winded and bloody, and Hale takes the handset from him. Rain drops to one knee beside them so she can hear it. Cade's eyes stray to Ari Rath's dead body as he adjusts the vox set's dials. He shakes his head, even as the connection stops hissing and becomes clear.
This is Gold, checking in. Auxiliary power is down,
Karin's son says. There is a pause, and another hiss of connection.
Good work, Car.
Devry's voice over the long-range link is undercut by lasfire and screams, but he still sounds as though he is smiling.
You got to blow something up after all.
We'll see you at the core, Karin,
Hale says.
Understood, Yuri,
Sun says.
Though the bloody Magos has us locked out of the gantries, we are...
Sun never gets to say what they are doing, because his next words are stolen by Axon Foe's mechanical voice blaring all around them, over the emitters, and the vox.
Deliver the faithless unto darkness,
it says.
Only by 9.
A second distant tremor rattles the gantry, and Rain catches one last shouted word over the voxlink through a roar of static and screams that send her cold to the core. Decompression.
No,
says Cade.
Gold, do you read me?
Hale says.
Gold, acknowledge!
Hale slams his fist on the deck.
Gold!
He says again. But there is no answer from Karin's son. Instead, the voice that breaks the static belongs to Sail Devry.
Car is gone,
Devry says. The hurt in his voice is plain to hear. Hale blinks. Rain sees hurt in him too, just for an instant, before he buries it.
You have to blind it, Hale says. And quickly!
I'll cut the bastard's eyes, Devry says. Just get yourself to the core and send the Magos screaming to the Elves.
By fire and thunder,
Hale says.
Aye,
Devry replies with a darkness in his voice. By fire and thunder. Davin Wick's hands are slick with blood. His heart hammers in his ears as he throws himself into another fight and into another squad of sighted soldiers that are holding the bulkhead door leading to the next section of the void gantry. Wick drops the first with a flurry of lasfire, and the second with the butt of the gun, breaking the sighted's fate-marked face open to the air. More blood. Around him, his wild folk are fighting too. To Wick, it all looks to be happening slowly. In between heartbeats. Deafening, painful heartbeats. Chris has one of the sighted on the ground, her big hands around the soldier's neck. Jay and Harrow are back to back, rifles up. Ord fires his flamer, making what's left of the enemy fall back. Second-hand heat rolls over Wick, bringing with it the smell of burning. Like Quarter. Like Keller and the others. The memory makes him falter for what feels like forever, but can only really be a second or two. It's still long enough to get shot. The shotgun blasts impact against Wick's flak armor and knocks the air clean out of his lungs. The sighted who shot him is grinning. His eyes are crystals, and his own chest plate is a silver mirror. The sighted pumps the combat shotgun and goes to fire again, but Wick isn't faltering anymore. He is furious. He snaps his own rifle up and fires as he moves. The first shot knocks the sighted's aim out, so the shotgun blast puts dents in the deck to Wick's left instead of taking his head off. Wick's second las bolt sends the sighted's black blood up the armor glass behind him, and then Wick is too close for the rifle at all. He lets it swing by the strap and slams the sighted into the armor glass and buries his knife up and under that mirrored chest plate. Twists it.
The darkness waits for you,
the sighted hisses as he dies.
It hungers.
Wick recoils from the sighted, letting him fall to the deck. He is dimly aware that the fighting around him has stopped, but the sighted's words have him frozen. The darkness waits for you. Wick is suddenly even more aware of the void pressing in on the gantries, of the endless, shapeless, frozen nothing waiting on the other side of the armor glass. The darkness waits for you. He thinks of the howling of the hounds, and the after, even more infinite than the void. His heartbeat becomes faster, more painful. He can't breathe.
Dove! We've got company!
Ord's words filter through the rushing in Wick's ears and the thunder of his heart, and he turns away from the armor glass to see the bulkhead door the sighted were guarding grinding upwards. A clade of 10 Skitarii stride through, painted in the enemy's colors. They move with a killer's grace on slender backwards-jointed metal legs. Red lenses glow balefully in their domed faceplates, and their powered blades sing a dirge as they raise them.
Emperor's wounds!
Chris shouts.
They are infiltrators!
Wick is about to ask what in the hells that means, when he is all but knocked from his feet by a blaring, agonizing wall of noise. Everyone around Wick collapses to their knees. The only reason Wick doesn't fall too is because the stims won't let him. That double dose he took keeps him upright. Instinct makes him put himself between the infiltrators and his wild folk. Wick's eyes are streaming and his limbs want to lock, but he still manages to raise his rifle and fire. The burst of las rounds hits one of the infiltrators right at the heart of the spiral painted on its faceplate, sending sparks and black fluid into the air. There's a momentary gap in that damned awful wailing.
Get up!
Wick shouts to his squad. His wild folk start moving, but they are so slow. Wick's vision swims from that noise the infiltrators are making. He tastes blood, tastes ozone from the crackling edges of the powered blades as one of the infiltrators lunges for him. Wick has to roll badly to duck the Skatari's powered blade. It hits the deck instead and cuts a furrow straight through it. Wick gets to his feet and empties half of his lasgun cell into the infiltrator's torso before burying his knife right between its eye lenses. The blade goes in, up to the hilt, and sticks. But the infiltrator doesn't fall. Instead, the Skatari's arm snaps out like a misfire, knocking Wick off his feet. He loses his grip on his rifle and crashes against the wall and slides down it, struggling to breathe. Then the infiltrator turns and points its stub carbine at Harrow. The Voidborn is still trying and failing to get up.
"Harrow!" Wick shouts, dragging himself to his feet. "Move!"
She doesn't, but Ord does, with a yell. He turns his flamer on the infiltrator and washes it with promethium. The clinging fire burns away the robes and what little is left of the man it was made from. Then the infiltrator's stub carbine detonates like a set charge, making a twisted wreck of its arm. But the damn thing still doesn't die. It turns fast, cutting Ord across the chest with its powered blade. He cries out and goes over. And something inside Wick snaps. He throws himself at the smouldering, spasming machine creature and manages to knock it flat, manages to pull his knife from where he left it, though it makes his arm scream to do it, makes him scream too. He buries the knife in it three more times. On the third strike, the knife snaps off inside, so he sets to pulling the cables free with his bare hands until all the thing can do is twitch. Until he realizes how quiet it is, save for the ringing in his ears and the beating of his heart. None of the infiltrators are blaring noise at them anymore, because they are all crumpled and collapsed around him, patterned with frost. Wick looks up to see Zane standing there with blood running in a thick stripe from her nose. It drips in half-time onto the front of her robes. The Commissar is with her. Everyone is with her. All looking at him. No, not everyone. Wick gets to his feet and goes straight to where Ord is lying. The powered blade opened him up across his chest. The flak didn't come close to stopping it. Ord is breathing like a panicked animal and pumping blood all over the floor.
"Duff," he says, between shallow breaths. "It's bad. It's really bad."
Wick doesn't need telling. He shouts for Lye, but she's already dropping to her knees opposite him and pulling her kit and her needles.
"Hey," Wick says, and he clicks his fingers to get Ord's attention. "Look at me. Keep your eyes open."
Ord does as he's told, but his eyes are foggy. Lye is trying to stop the bleeding. She's red to her elbows, and she has that look on her face that Wick has seen before. The look that tells him it's worse than bad.
I promised I'd do it,
Ord says.
I'd mind them.
There's minding, and then there's being stupid, Wick says. Throne that was stupid.
Ord laughs, though it's not a joke. Some blood comes with it.
Never promised anything about that,
he says. Ord takes a breath, and Wick sees the way air bubbles in the wound.
I'm sorry, Dav, Ord says.
What for?
Wick asks. But Ord doesn't answer. Instead, he just seizes and rasps a breath, and then goes still. Wick curls his hands into fists. It hurts to do it because he's cut across the palms and the knuckles from killing the infiltrator. Skinned, ragged. But it doesn't stop him from slamming his fist onto the deck and cutting it all over again.
Dav,
Lye says.
Not a word,
he snarls. He gets to his feet and goes to fetch his rifle. Wick sees Harrow and Jay looking at him. Chris, too. The great big fool has tears running down her face. She opens her mouth to say something, but he turns away because he doesn't want to hear it from her either. Not a damned word. It takes almost 4 hours for Rain and the Antari to reach the end of the void gantries. Almost 4 hours and a great deal of blood. Rain's body aches from cuts and bruises and from every fight before this one. Every blow she parries with her sword makes her ache all the worse, but still she does not stop. She cannot stop. So Rain refuses the pain, and the exhaustion as she fights her way through the sighted defending the last section of the void gantries. Rain opens one of the sighted from hip to throat with her saber, letting her momentum lend strength to the blow, before using that same momentum to slip past another as he tries to cut her in turn. This one is clad in blue carapace armor and a mirrored helm, and wields a wave-bladed sword made from dark metal. Rain hears the hum of the sword as it parts the air by her head.
Change is creation,
the sighted says, as he swings for her again.
Change is death.
Rain catches his sword on her own and pushes the sighted back a step. He hisses behind his mirrored mask.
And so change is creation, he says. Only by...
The sighted's last word is lost to the boom of Rain's bolt pistol. The explosive round shatters the man's helm and his head beneath it, and his body falls heavily onto the decking, gouting black blood. Around Rain, the fight is in full flow. Another of the sighted cuts Yuri Hale and nearly takes that same eye he was so lucky not to lose. Hale answers with lasfire from his pistol that paints the deck with blood like a starfield. Lydia Zane slams one of the heretics against the armor glass and breaks him. Till and Jeth make quick, efficient kills, dropping many of their enemies before they can even close range. Rain sees Wick snap the neck of another sighted with a twist of his hands, shouting as he does it. Rain draws her sword through another of them, through the last of them. The heretic falls hard and rasps a noisy breath, and then dies.
And now for the door,
Hale says from beside her, breathless. The bulkhead door blocking the way ahead is massive, as wide as the gantry and made from one solid piece of reinforced plasteel that's easily as thick as the hull of a tank. The sighted spiral mark has been daubed on the face of it, at least 6 feet high. As Rain approaches it with Hale and his squad, she can see that the spiral is made up of words. Only by nine, it says. Over and over again. Rain scowls and spits onto the deck. This close to the core, the floor is crowded with jagged clusters of crystal and puddles of oil that mingle with all of the spilt blood.
Wick, set Yulia to work on the door,
Hale says.
I want it broken.
Aye, sir, Wick says.
The splinter pattern on Wick's fatigues is almost lost to filth and blood. His face is cut and bruised, and his fair hair is dark with ashes. Only the aquila on the chain around his neck remains bright and clear to see.
Be precise, Hale says. The void has taken quite enough from us today.
Wick glances momentarily at the armor glass viewport, and Rain sees him take a breath.
Got it,
he says, and he shouts for Chris and moves off to the bulkhead.
How are we doing, Nuria?
Hale asks. The medic is almost as bloody as Wick. She shakes her head and sighs.
I won't lie, Yuri. It could be better.
She glances back to where the rest of the squad are mustering and keeping watch. The Fenwalkers are as good as dead. Only the new recruits left standing. Coy's watching over them as well as her own now. The Hartkin have fared little better. We're looking at 1 in 8 dead, or worse. Rain feels the weight of their losses heavily too. And not just Grey Company, but Blue and Gold too. All of them. Hundreds of Antari souls, damned to die by High Command, because of what she knows. Their sacrifice will not be wasted, she says, as much to herself as to Hale and Lai. We will make the enemy pay in blood for those we have lost. Hale nods.
Aye, Commissar,
he says.
For every death.
Breach is set, Captain,
Chris shouts. The combat engineer jogs back towards them, trailing a line of det cord. Everyone else gets at least as far back as Chris does. 5 charges are affixed around the edges of the bulkhead door, with deck cord running between them along the seals. Rain knows that the charges are custom-made, like all of Chris's demolitions kit, built for the job at hand, and the environment they face.
"When the bulkhead goes, we push straight through,"
Hale says over the company channel.
"No hesitation! Go for the kill!" "Aye, for the kill!"
The answer comes from every squad sergeant left standing.
"On my word, Yulia,"
Hale says.
"Yes, sir,"
Chris says with a grin.
"Break it,"
Hale snarls. Chris flips the switch on the detonator, and the deck cord lights in a bright white instant, like the heart of a star. The charges follow, triggered by the cord. They detonate so quickly that Rain can't separate the noise. It all just becomes one long boom and an exhaled plume of smoke that stings her throat and her eyes. And then it is over. And there is nothing left of the bulkhead but a twisted, splintered mess. And through the doorway, the outer core.
"Go!" Hale shouts. "Straight through for the kill!"
Rain breaks cover alongside the Antari and runs for the outer door, through smoke and freezing cold water from the fire suppressors. A storm inside the shipyards. Everything is painted crimson by the emergency lighting. Alarums wail, but louder still is the machine voice of Axon Foe.
"The unenlightened will perish," it says. "Only by 9.
Rain sees the outer core in glimpses as she runs through the smoke. It is a massive circular chamber, lined with thick knots of piping and cables. The sighted have built several rows of fortifications and barricades from scrap and sandbags between the gantries and the bulkheads that lead to the command core. Targeting lasers pierce the smoke all around Rain as she reaches the first row of barricades and vaults them, landing amongst the sighted on the other side. They are still reeling from the explosion that destroyed the door. Some are bleeding, some aflame. Laz fire strobes in the smoke, and the fight becomes a series of instants painted in red and gold. Firing pennants and sending black blood scattering across the deck. Lydia Zane, splintering bone and metal alike with a clap of her hands. Davin Wick, slamming one of the sighted against the barricades. Cassia Till killing with whispers of hellgun fire. Yuri Hale's chainsword snarling and sending more black blood into the air. And then, over the shouting and the gunfire and Axon Foe's droning, Rain hears something else. The high-pitched whine of automated turrets.
"Take cover!"
she shouts into the vox. Rain ducks back onto the other side of the barricades as the automated turrets fire, cutting through the smoke and clattering against the barricades and the deck. The order echoes down the line from the squad sergeants and from Hale. Shouts echo too. Screams. Sparks fly everywhere. All along the line, the Antari of Grey Company seek safety in the shadow of the barricades as the heavy gunfire tracks along it, splintering metal and plasteel. Rain sees one of Koi's mist vipers hit by it, splintered just as easily. Dead. In an instant.
"Zane!"
Hale shouts from beside Rain.
"Shields!"
The Psyker is on her knees, shaking and bleeding badly from that gunshot wound in her leg. She looks down the line and holds up her hands, making barricades for the barricades where she can. But her shielding is flickering and faltering.
"I cannot protect them all, Captain," she says through blood and drool. "It is too far. It is too much."
"Do what you can,"
Hale says, as he unhooks the Vox handset from Cade's kit.
"This is Grey,"
Hale says.
"Devry, do you read?"
"I hear you, Grey,"
he says. Devry sounds like he's in pain.
"I'm almost at the auguries. We've got resistance."
Zane is moaning through her teeth now and weeping from her false eyes. Frost spreads out from her across the deck. Rain ducks again as a high-caliber round slips through and takes a chunk out of the barricade by her head.
"Resistance or not, if you don't blind the Magos, we're dead,"
Hale says. Zane cries out then, and her limited shielding fails. Screams echo. Silhouetted figures spill away from the barricades, torn apart by gunfire.
"No, Devry!"
Hale shouts into the handset. And there is a huge tremor that rattles the deck underfoot. For an instant, the gunfire and the Magos fall silent. In that moment, Rain can hear nothing but the cries and the moans of the dying.
Auguries destroyed,
Devry says over the vox.
Go for the kill, Yuri.
Aye,
Hale says.
For the kill.
Davin Wick sinks down with his back against the barricades. Him and his wild folk are right out in it, leaving the rest of Grey behind. So slow. Hard rounds clatter off the deck around him, throwing sparks into the air. Wick puts his hand to his side. It comes away so red it's almost black, and he realizes he's been shot. Realizes that's why it hurts and why he's so dizzy. He can't remember it happening. Can't remember much of anything save for splinters. Thrown punches, hip fire, snapped bones, strangling. Screams that could be his or could be theirs. That could just be echoes for all he knows, because he can't tell the edges from the center anymore. He rests his head against the barricades for a second and takes another vial out of the pouch at his belt. His vision is already pin sharp, everything so loud, but the gunshot wound will make him slow, and he can't afford to be slow. Wick uncaps the vial with his thumb and punches the auto-injector into his arm. It hits him hard because he's already running the edge, already on the edge. It makes him knock his head against the barricades and grit his teeth, makes him almost choke on his own spit. Then it makes him get up on his feet, take a breath, wait for the chatter of guns to skip, and then run from cover and into the teeth of it. Over the barricades and the sandbags they've slung up, there are five of the sighted. Six. Maybe 10. It's a blur of colors and shapes and sound, yelling, the crack of las fire, the thunderclaps of solid shot. Everything smells like iron and dirt and old flowers. More thrown punches that jolt his arm, make his knuckles creak and ache. More bones that break under his hands and his boots. More screams. Could be theirs or his. Then it's over. Wick doesn't know exactly how he ends up on his knees, but he does. Throwing up onto the tread plate, so it goes into all of the grooves. There's blood in that too. Blood everywhere. So much of it. Everywhere. Always. He gets to his feet again as the others catch up to him. Their faces run like water as the room turns. It should just be Chris and Harrow and Jay, because that's all he has left. But it's not. Wick sees Ord too, cut through. He sees Tian, all broken. Efri and Dal and Vine. Yevi and Nile and all of the others that have gone on without him. Last of all, there's Keller. Burned black, save for his grey eyes. What have you done, Dav? The dead ask.
Too much to forgive,
he answers them, his voice barely a whisper. And then Chris takes hold of him by the shoulders and shakes him, and the dead vanish. Wick shrugs her free before his nerves can fire enough to make him hit her.
You don't look right,
she says, her voice made low and slow.
You don't sound right.
He almost tells her it's because he's not, because he's wrong, made badly, broken and snapped, but he doesn't. Instead, he tells her what he always tells her, because soon it won't matter anyway, because of all his sins, lies are surely the least.
It's nothing, Wick says.
Rain feels the tide turning as she cuts and shoots and kills her way towards the command corps alongside Yuri Hale and the rest of Grey Company. Rain's hands are slick with blood and sweat, and her bones ache. Smoke stings her eyes and leaves her lungs raw, but they are so close. Victory is so close. And then the emitters overhead click live with a whine, and Axon Foe's voice echoes again. But this time, it is more than just monotone. It is enraged.
Kill the faithless,
it says, over and over.
Kill the faithless!
And a twinned bellow echoes in answer. Rain looks to the source of the roar to see a hulking creature approaching through the smoke. No, not a creature, a creation, made from bone and flesh and metal to look like an apex predator. The thing is nearly as big as a Taurox, and it moves spasmodically on four limbs that end in clawed feet. Jagged crystal scales cover its body and forelimbs, and exhaust pipes jut from its shoulders. The creation's face is no more than a silvered asymmetric skull with slack, fanged jaws that look neither animal or human. Two more faceted crystals sit in the creation's hollow eye sockets. It twitches and bellows again without moving those slack jaws, dribbling oil and fluid onto the deck.
Five hells, Jeth says from beside Rain,
and the creation lowers its head and charges forwards.
Fall back to the barricades,
Hale shouts.
Do not stop firing.
Rain fires on it, the bolt shells detonating against the creature's crystal hide, scattering shards and spraying the deck with oil. Lasfire from the Antari glances from the creation's scales and clatter from its silvered bones. Hellgun fire chips splinters from its jaws and skull, but the creation doesn't stop. It lands amidst the Antari, reeking of death and scattering oil. It guts Mac Arcade with a swipe of its claws, knocks one of the Hartkin into the barricades and crushes another underfoot. Zane manages to save herself and Neri Alai with a kind shield, but the Psyker is on her knees and screaming. Till and Jeth stand their ground, still firing, aiming for the eyes and the dead flesh between its scales. Rain hears Yuri Hale shout in Antari. The meaning of the words filters through to her as the creation turns towards him. Go back to the hells. Hale cuts the creation deeply across its forelimbs and face with his chainsword. The toothed blade skips and grinds over bone and metal, sending splinters and oil into the air. The creation falters and staggers, and its limbs misfire, and for a moment, it seems it might fall and go still. But then the creation rears and bellows and slices him with its massive hooked claws. Hale's chainsword goes skittering away, and he falls to his knees with blood spilling from the deep wounds in his face and throat and chest. Somehow, Hale still manages to raise his las pistol in a shaking hand and fire it up into the creature's face, shattering its jaws.
Back to the hells,
he manages to say again, over the vox. And then the creation slams him onto the deck, and he goes still. Rain hears Lai scream, hears Jeth curse. She yells too, wordlessly, firing her bolt pistol on the creation until it clicks empty. It comes for her then, bellowing all the while. Lasfire halos it, Till shatters one of the creation's crystal eyes. Rain stands her ground with Evenfall in guard. She has to kill it. She has to survive. She cannot allow the shipyards to be the death sentence that Serek intended it to be. She will not die here. Rain allows the creation to get so close that she can smell the terrible death stink rolling from beneath its ruined jaws. It swings a massive claw to cut her, snagging her along her hips and ribs as she ducks inside its reach. The pain is dizzying, but she is close enough now to see herself reflected in the faceted crystal of its remaining eye. Close enough to plunge Evenfall to the hilt, up into the creation's skull. The creation spasms and bellows and knocks Rain backwards, sending her crashing onto the deck. That is dizzying too, and painful. As Axon Foe's creation thrashes and collapses to the deck, spilling oil and shedding sparks, Rain tries to sit herself up, but realizes she can't. Her armor is a ruin, torn open by the creation's claws. She is bleeding a lot. It bubbles up and over her hands as she tries to stop it, turning her black uniform even more so. Rain's vision smears and blurs as the sighted start firing again, as someone puts their armored hands on her and drags her into cover behind the barricades. She sees a Duskhound's mask through lidded eyes and nearly says Andren Fell's name.
Eyes on me, Commissar, Cassia Till says. You can't die here.
Rain shakes her head. She can't die here. Not with the fight unfinished, and with Serek still standing and the crusade fighting on blindly in the name of a lie. She will not die here. Rain tries to stand, but she only makes it as far as her knees. Her sabre falls from her hand, her pistol too. Till shouts for Lai as Rain manages to put her hand into her greatcoat pocket and take out the timepiece, printing blood into the name carved into the back of the case. She hears her sister's voice then, from the data crystal recording.
You will not fail as I did, Severina. You will be your own legend, and for that, I am so very proud.
Rain's vision tunnels, until the only point of light is the timepiece's case, and her sister's name.
Lucia,
Rain whispers, as the darkness overcomes her.
Hail is down!
Lara Coy's voice over the vox is distorted by distance, muted by the screaming and shouting and the hammering of Wick's heart in his ears. He takes cover behind the barricades with sighted lasfire cutting holes in the smoke around him. He is breathing hard, bleeding badly from the wound in his side, so dosed up that colours are dazzling and his skin feels as though it's afire.
Lara, I'm going to need you to repeat that,
he says, his voice hoarse.
Yuri's dead, Dav.
Wick blinks, and his hand falls away from the vox bead in his ear. Yuri, too, gone to the after, with Ord and Efri and Dal and Vine and so many others. So many dead who don't deserve it, who aren't owed it.
What about Devri and Blue?
Wick asks.
I cannot raise him without long-range vox. We're on our own. The Magos' damned creatures are everywhere, and we've not long before we lose void support.
Wick chances a look around the barricade. There is only one more sighted barricade between him and the bulkhead doors that lead to the command corps, to the Magos, to the end.
We need a plan, Dav,
Coy says in his ear. Wick ducks back behind the cover as Lasfire splits the air. He thinks about Karin's son and Gold Company blown out into the void, killed in an instant. Wick takes a deep breath, and it hurts to do it.
Leave it to me, he says into the vox. Just keep drawing their eyes.
What are you going to do?
She asks.
Enact Yuri's last order,
he says.
I'm going for the kill.
He cuts the connection before she can argue with him.
What's the plan, Sarge?
Chris says from beside him. The combat engineer is covered in ashes and dirt, and her flak armor is split across the chest plate. A bloody wound carves its way along her scalp through her short, dark hair. Jay and Harrow are still with her too, firing around the cover at the sighted's lines. The Voidborn don't look like new blood anymore. They are just wild folk now.
We're going to send the Magos into the void, Wick says. How many charges do you have left?
Chris pulls the last of her kit from her belt, a tight-wound bundle of demo charges and a remote trigger.
Just the one, but there's no real range on the trigger,
she says.
I'll have to be with it when it goes.
What the sighted on the gantry said comes back to Wick then. The darkness waits for you.
No, you won't, Wick says. Give me the charges.
Chris's face falls in what seems like slow motion.
Sarge,
she says.
No, Wick snarls at her. I won't have your death to bear too, not with all of the others. Now do as I say and give me the damn charges.
Chris shakes her head. A tear paints a clean line through the blood on her face.
Damn it, Dav,
she says. But she passes him the charges. They are heavy and cold in Wick's hands.
You get me to the door, and then you fall back to the others, he says. Clear?
Yes, sir,
Chris says. She claps him on the shoulder then with her left hand, the one with the wild folk's mark on it.
Go fast,
she says. Wick nods.
And don't look back, he tells her.
And he means it. His wild folk get into position beside him.
Ready?
Chris asks. Wick feels the weight of the demo charges and the bolt shell he carries and the Aquila around his neck, and he nods.
Ready, he says.
And then he breaks cover and runs for the bulkhead door. Lasfire cuts the air around him, punches holes in the deck, nicks his legs as he runs. Wick staggers, but he doesn't fall, doesn't slow. He hits the barricades and vaults them, shoots one of the sighted in the face and breaks another with the butt of his rifle. Chris knocks another to the deck. Jay guts one with his knife. Harrow sends one spilling over backwards. The last two of the sighted fall back towards the bulkhead. Wick shoots one of them down and Chris gets the other. But they have already triggered the bulkhead door. A siren blares and the door begins to grind closed, and Wick runs for it, dropping into a slide under the door before it slams shut and seals with a hiss of pressure. Wick gets to his feet, with his ears ringing and his bones aching. He is alone in the vast command corps, separated from his wild folk. The circular chamber is lined with cogitator banks, and lit only by the starlight coming through the armor glass viewports and the glowing crystals jutting from the deck like standing stones. Wick takes a breath and gags. The command corps stinks of death. Bared skulls and bits of bone lie everywhere, torn sinews and slicks of blood. Some of it is animal, but most is not. Tangled loops of pipes and cables snake over and through the mess, sweating oil and coiling up to the raised central dais where they connect to the shadowed, jagged shape that sits on it. The Magos. Axon foe.
Flesh-given purpose,
it burrs.
Only by 9.
There are even more bodies on the dais, scattered around the Magos like kills in an Ursa's den. The loops of pipes and cables stir and slither over one another as the Magos turns to face him, clicking like an Auspex return. It rears up on 9 mechanical legs. Black robes stitched with crimson spirals hang from what remains of its torso, thin and tattered. Multiple arms protrude from beneath those robes, bladed and augmented and set with weapons. The face inside the Magos's hood is a spiral of red crystals and lenses set around a central voximeter.
Kill the faithless,
the Magos blares. Wick runs for the viewport as the Magos claws its way down from the dais towards him. Jagged bolts of lightning spear from the Magos's weapon arms, arcing to the deck and the cogitators and scorching the air around Wick's head. One of the cogitators detonates, sending Wick from his feet. He lands badly amongst the blood and the ruins, shattering his wrist. His rifle skitters away and is lost amongst the cables. The Magos stalks closer on its spider limbs, with that Auspex click. Hunting him. Wick goes in the pouch at his belt and takes out another of his vials. The dose hits him even harder than the last one did. Blood runs from his nose and his heart aches in his chest as he gets back on his feet. More lightning hits the deck. He can smell the metal and blood stink of the Magos as it lunges closer. Through the armor glass, the void looms wide and dark and strung with stars. It's like looking at death itself, right down the throat of the hounds. Wick should be afraid, but he isn't because of the weight of the bolt shell he carries, because of the weight of the Aquila around his neck, because he is tired of the blood on his hands and the ghosts in his head. He is tired of running from death. Wick drops into a slide as the Magos tries to take his head clean off with one of those bladed arms. He slams Chris's improvised charge against the armor glass, where it sticks, and then rolls to his feet, ready to thumb the trigger. And then one of the Magos's bladed arms punches into his chest, straight through the flak. Wick coughs blood.
No good,
he says. Wick's feet leave the deck as the Magos lifts him. The movement makes the blade shift in his chest, and he cries out, going blind for a second. His body is